This is Colin Edwards in Beirut, Lebanon. And with me, speaking for Al-Fatah, the Palestine Arab Liberation Movement, is Mr. Ziad. Mr. Ziad, what are the origins of Fatah, and when was it set up?
The idea of Fatah was born in 1956. The idea of a Palestinian underground organization began when the tripartite aggression against Egypt took place. This idea spread through refugee camps scattered all over the Arab countries. In 1958, the first Palestinian secret organization was formed under the name of Fatah, and its first publication was issued called Falastinuna. Our military activities, however, started in 1965 with the formation of Al-Asifa.
Could you explain the meaning of the terms Fatah and Asifa?
Fatah is the initials of a Palestine National Liberation Movement in Arabic, reversed.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's Harakat al-Tahrir al-Falastin.
Harakat al-Tahrir al-Watani al-Falastini, Fatah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you just, it's like saying ABC and then changing it to CBA.
That's right. Al-Asifa is the storm, mm-hmm. means storm.
But what does Fatah mean in Arabic when you reverse the three letters and you come out with Fatah?
It's the opening.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you describe the final objective of Fatah?
The final objective of our movement is to restore a free democratic Palestinian state where Muslim, Christians and Jews could live together enjoying the same rights. This is only possible if we bring an end to the present concept of a Jewish, racist, expansionist, and Zionist state.
Where do you get your support from? I mean, from what groups do the commanders come, the people who join Fatah?
Fatah members are recruited from the Palestinian people, mainly from camps, but educated people have joined Fatah from the very beginning. They were the ones to form the nucleus of the movement.
Can you tell us anything about your leadership at all, or is that entirely secret?
Our leadership is a secret one. All I can tell you is that it's a collective leadership, and we have only a spokesman who is now known, Arafat.
Yasser Arafat, yes.
That's right, Abu Ammar.
Yes, this is code name is Abu Ammar. You all use code names, but Arafat, the name became known, so there's no longer any hiding of it, yes. Well, how would you describe the strategy of Fatah?
We believe that the liberation of Palestine could only be through armed struggle. Our struggle is spearheaded by the Palestinian people, and its base is the Arab people as a whole. Liberation cannot be achieved through any army or armies that are divorced from the people. Armies will decide the final conflict, but only after we have unified our energies for an armed revolution. We are the nucleus around which the Arab people of Palestine will unite, and with the help of the Arab peoples, we will reach our aim and form a democratic Palestinian state in which all can live.
Does pan-Arabism, the unification of all of the Arab nation, all the Arab peoples, figure in your objective also, as it does with so many other political groups in the Arab countries?
We believe that the liberation of Palestine is the way to Arab unity.
Now, would you object to a peaceful approach to the problem you face with the Israelis?
We do not object to any political way of trying to end this dispute. War and violence are not goals in themselves. Our goal is the liberation of our homeland and restoration of the lost rights of our people. We seek security, justice, and peace. We have been attacked, terrorized, and thrown out of our lands, and now are merely exercising our rights of self-defense. We want everyone to know that we are not seeking war for war's sake. We will fight and are fighting because war has become a necessity. But if political action becomes effective enough to restore our lands and safeguard our rights, then we would welcome such a political solution. Our lost lands and the rights of our people are at stake here. Israel does not want a peaceful way of solving this problem. When she continues to block a way to a non-military solution and makes political action to safeguard our rights impossible, then we are left with no choice except to resort to armed struggle, a path which has been followed by all oppressed peoples.
What about the use of what is called terrorism as a tactic?
We do not use terrorism as a tactic. We have tried to explain many times that our movement is a military movement. Our targets are mainly military targets. But when the Israelis try to bomb or blow up our houses in the occupied land, so the only thing we can do and the way we can retaliate is to blow up their houses, and we treat them the same. It is only a policy of retaliation.
Some people in the West particularly fear, and I think this is a genuine fear that they entertain in their minds, that if the Palestine Arabs or the Arab states defeat Israel, there'll be a bloodbath there carried out by the Arabs against the Jews. Now, what is your response to this sort of charge?
Oh, the goals of al-Fatah and the Arab states are humanitarian in principles and methods, unlike Zionism, which uses Nazi-like tactics in achieving its ends. Our revolution is aimed at the liberation of man from all kinds of discrimination. We reject the techniques of brutality and murder used by Zionists. Arabs have never discriminated against the Jews. Historically, many Jews found a heaven in the Arab homeland when they were being persecuted by Europeans. We also sympathized with the suffering of the Jews under the Nazis. But this sympathy does not mean that we ought to pay the price for Hitler's crime. Why do we as Palestinians have to suffer terror, hunger and deportation for what someone else has done? Our aim is to bring an end to the concept of a Jewish Zionist state, a racist and expansionist state. Our aim is to destroy this state, this concept, but not its people. We want a democratic Palestinian state. We will not force anyone out who is willing to live under the banner of this state as a loyal Palestinian. It does not matter whether he is a Christian, Muslim, or a Jew.
And the Jews who are presently living in Israel would be able to play their part in the politics.
They do have a big role to play in the future, yes.
Could you explain to us how Fatah as an organization relates to the Palestine Liberation Organization and what part the Palestine National Council plays?
The members of the Palestine National Council are representatives of the Palestinian people.
Are they elected?
They are not elected, but they are the ones who can represent the people. Mm-hmm. Now, these members elect the executive committee of the PLO, which is at the head of several groupings, which groups, that's the Fatah, the Popular Front for Liberation of Palestine, a democratic one,
yes.
Not the other one. The other one is outside the mm-hmm. PLO, the SAIKA, and all other tendencies among the Palestinians. And the executive committee of the PLO has the right to speak in the name of the Palestinians and the Palestinian armed struggle, because it represents 95 and more of 95% of the total armed Palestinian men.
Who are these people on the Palestine National Council?
The members of the Palestine National Council are people who are well known as Palestinians. They are, if we I would say, spokesman of a small Palestinian community. They are well-known and educated people.
And they represent the various groups that are spread around in the Arab countries.
They do represent the various... Yes, they do represent the various groups of Palestinians in the camps, outside the camps, abroad. Mm-hmm. I would say in the Arab world, in the Arab world in general.
So they represent a wide-ranging group.
Yes. Okay.
Does Fatah have one ideological position, or is it a broad group representing many?
The Palestine National Liberation Movement, Al-Fatah, is neither a party nor a front. It's a movement. The party has a fixed social ideology. The front groups are organizations within the context of a specific plan of action. Now, the basic element of a movement is dynamism. It accepts basic principles as well as assumptions, but subjects its thoughts to practice and experience. Through motion and dynamism, the movement builds its intellectual content. Al-Fatah does not believe in inertia, nor in static reasoning. It has basic principles and conceptions. But its intellectual content cannot crystallize except through dynamic and pragmatic experience. Its dynamism is cybernetic, and this cybernetic dynamism is essential for the success of an active movement like Al-Fatah. Theory is the offspring of experience, and practice is a test for thoughts and positions. Al-Fatah is in continuous motion, subjecting all its conceptions and policies to practice, modifying and altering them to the point where it can use this mental Tao to build its intellectual content. Thus, as a movement, Al-Fatah refuses to be static and cannot delineate the man of the future through metaphysical reasoning.
You said it had a fixed social position. What exactly did you mean by that?
As a movement, the social structure will be seen on our way to liberation. It's very difficult to see the social position of the future Palestine while now we are refugees. Yeah. We cannot be refugees in the future. Mm-hmm. And we cannot dream of a situation which will be enforced on us or chosen by us.
Mm-hmm. But in general, were most of the people sort of more inclined to socialism than to capitalism, the old system?
Well, at present, it's yeah. very difficult to say it will be a capitalist yeah. or a socialist. It will be a trend of living that will suit everybody, all Palestinians who took part in this fight.
In other words, when you achieve a Palestinian state again, it will be it will take the form that the people, the majority, want it. You're leaving it open to them to be decided at that stage.
We will leave it to the majority.
One of the reasons I asked this question is that some people are putting it about that Mr. Arafat and the movement are falling under Syrian influence, which is the Ba'athist Party, of course.
Well, it's funny enough, but all I can say is that the movement has not and do not intend to fall under any non-Palestinian authority or influence.
What role do women play in Fatah's organization and in its military functions?
Many women have joined our organization. This is nothing new. Palestinian women have been active in the resistance movement since the 30s. Many have participated in missions, sometimes very delicate ones, in occupied territories. The Palestinian woman, like her Algerian sister, is very active in the struggle for liberation. The devotion to our martyred Palestine is not limited by age, location, or sex. Examples to women who have fought on our side recently, even in the past 2 years, Fatme Bernawi, a sister who was caught and now is in Israeli prisons. Shadi Abu Ghazali is another sister who was killed in Nablus, and several others, actually.
What about the religious makeup of Fatah? Not that it is a religious organization, but the people who form it. Are they drawn from mainly the Muslim community of Palestine?
Well, as Palestinians, we do not differentiate between a Christian, a Muslim, or a Jew. Two of our brothers, Kamal Nemeri and William Nassar, are the sons of Palestinian Christian fathers and Palestinian Jewish mothers. They devoted their lives for the liberation of their homeland, Palestine. Many other Palestinian Christian, Jews, and Muslims have joined the Fatah and are now fighting with Al-Asifa.
I noticed when I was at the training camp and when I was at one of your guerrilla headquarters during the troubles in Lebanon that your commanders included people who, some of whom were actually African, you know, dark black, and then others who were quite white, could be taken for Europeans at any time, fair-haired, blue-eyed, and then, of course, between them, the range of ethnic groups. And one I saw in Arafat's bodyguard looked like exactly like a Vietnamese.
Yeah. You know, we don't look at these things. These are very secondary. We are all Palestinians, whether dark in skin or white or yellow even. We don't look at these details.
Yeah, there's so much emphasis on the Arab nation, the Arab movement. And then you include all these people in your definition of Arab nation, do you?
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely, yes.
So you don't limit it to an ethnic term.
Not
you include
at all.
Jews in there, too, the Jews who are fighting with you, alongside you.
Oh, yes, definitely. Jews, we have Arab Jews, and they have the same rights as us.
Mm-hmm. How did the June 67 war affect the situation and the policies of Fatah?
Israel is following a campaign of terror, humiliation and deportation of the Arabs at this very moment. Most of the casualties in the Arab struggle with Zionism for the past 20 years have been ours. This, however, is beginning to change. We plan to resist. Now, isn't it better to die bringing down your enemy than to await a slow, miserable death, rotting in a tent in the desert? Well, 2 million Palestinians have done this in vain for the past 20 years, and now they are tired of the humiliation, the starvation, or the misery. Our new generation is tired of waiting for something to happen. As an example, 30% of the refugees in Gaza before the June war were born after 1948. How long can this continue? Neither the United Nations nor anyone else has been able to solve this problem. Well, our war is a people's war, and we have chosen this path.
Do you see it in similar light to the Vietnamese struggle and the Cuban Latin American struggles?
We do see it the same with the same angle. It is, and it will be a people's war.
Mm-hmm. Now, while you're pursuing your military campaign, I notice you're also building up your social institutions among the Palestinian refugee populations, especially in Jordan. I noticed.
As a movement, we have seen the necessity of creating our institutions, our social institutions. Now we have the Beit al-Maqdis, which is a school for the children of our martyrs. We have our clinics. We have formed the Palestinian Red Crescent and many other social institutions which are necessary to the revolution. In the last meeting of the Red Cross in Istanbul, or in Ankara, I'm not sure of that, there was a few representatives from the Red Crescent, Palestinian Red Crescent, and they have decided to accept the Red Crescent, Palestinian Red Crescent, as a member in the International Red Cross Organization.
Now, there's a place where the children of some of the commanders who died live. Could you tell us something about that?
Well, the movement has the responsibility of all the parents and the family, actually, of the martyr. Now, the only way to put an end to our disaster and our lack of knowledge is to put the children of our martyrs in schools, but they have to live somewhere. So we have built for them a few houses where they can have a good living.
Mm-hmm. This is the boys and the girls also looked after.
Yes.
So Ziad, what about the wives and widows of the commandos? Are they looked after? Do they have an allowance, a pension, or do family support?
The movement pays for the families if they need the money as an allowance. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now the youngsters, a lot of your youngsters are already getting prepared for their role in the commando operations, and you have what they call the Lion Cubs. Could you explain this a little?
Our young generation has been is now in outside Palestine, but they don't have to. They shouldn't forget their homeland, their father's land. So the only way to keep on with the idea of Palestinians having been driven out of their home, Palestinians who should go back and restore their land, is to keep these youngsters under control and tell them that Palestine is your land, the Jews are your brothers, the Zionists is your enemy. They are always kept under good control, and some of them have military training.
Mm-hmm. In the West, there have been lots of stories that in the camps and the refugee camps and the schools and in the Jordan schools, the children are taught to hate Jews as such.
This is not true. You can actually, you have visited one of these camps, training camps for the Ashbal, that's the Lion Cubs, and I'm sure you have talked to them, and you could see that they don't hate Jews, not at all. On the contrary, they fight Zionism.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Ziad. Unless there's something else you wanted to say about Al-Fatah?
Well, as an organization, we would like the free people of the world to look at us as a people who took arms against an oppressor, who took arms against an invader, who took our land, and we will never leave our arms except in Palestine as victor.
Do you have a date by which you're going to achieve your victory? I think you can achieve it, or is this any time, as long as it takes?
As long as it takes. We're ready for a very long fight.
Thank you, Mr. Ziad. Thanks. For explaining to us the positions and outlook of your movement, the Palestine Liberation Movement, Al-Fatah. This is Colin Edwards in Damascus, Syria. And with me is Mr. Zoher Mohsen, Vice President of the National Palestine Council and official spokesman of SAICA, one of the major Palestine Arab commando groups. What does SAICA mean, Mr. Mohsen?
The name of our organization is the Vanguards of the Popular Liberation War. Its military wing is named SAICA, which literally means the thunderstorm.
What connections does your movement have with the other commando groups like Fatah, the Democratic Popular Front, and the other commando groups?
Our organization has very good relations with the main organization, Al-Fatah, and the Democratic Popular Front. We and the mentioned two organizations participate together in leading the Palestinian Liberation Organization and share the seats of the Executive Committee of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Moreover, we share the majority of the seats of the Palestinian National Council, which held its fifth session at Cairo on the 1st of September. On the other side, in general, we have also good relations with other organizations. We don't have hatred to any of them, especially those who participated the last session of the Palestinian National Council, which we regard the wide base on which Palestinian resistance organizations can meet and develop that meeting into a strong kind of alliance.
Now, what about the political alignment of your party? Could you describe its ideologies?
In general, our organization, since it had been built by the Palestinian branch of Al-Ba'ath Party, it's clear that the political line and ideology is classified left. We believe in Arab unity and socialism. We are contended with the that the reactionary classes and regimes can do nothing good and positive, neither to the Palestinian resistance nor to the Palestinian judgment. In regard to the economical structure, we believe that the liberated Palestine cannot be independent from the general economics of the Arab area. So there must be good cooperation and strong connections between Palestine and the other Arab countries who are walking now on the way of economical unity as the first step for the political unity. So the economic structure of Palestine will be well influenced by the whole development of the area at the instant of gaining victory. The area possesses very large possibilities, which now are spent on armies and weapons. But in future, these possibilities will be used for developing the economics and the society of the area.
Can you tell us anything about the leadership of your movement?
The leadership of our movement is a collective leadership, and we don't declare names. So we have leadership in every country, but the general leadership is in Damascus, which leads either the military bases and the political organizations of the or the political wings of the organization.
What kinds or classes of the Palestinian people does your organization represent?
Mainly our organization is composed from poor classes. We have commandos from several Arab countries, and we are ready to accept commandos from any other country, either Arab or not Arabs. And in future, we may have Jews who are anti-Zionist Jews, to we will allow them to participate our struggle, mm-hmm. in our struggle.
You're Palestinian yourself?
Yes, I am Palestinian myself, yes.
Most of your movement is Palestinian?
The majority of our commandos are Palestinians, but we have some other Arabs, mm-hmm. especially from Iraq, Syria. We have some Algerian citizens and Sudanese citizens.
Could you tell us something about your military operations, the extent of them, and the kind of operations you embark on?
Our organization developed widely in a very short time, that now is regarded the first between all Fida'een organizations in the number of fighters. Our bases are now spread all over Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and inside the occupied area. We are going steadily in executing our plans to multiply the size of our organization in the coming future. We have several operations inside the occupied area daily. We now try to develop our operations in size, in kind, and in the depth of their field.
What do you regard as your final objective? A Fatah spokesman have talked about a secular democratic state with equal rights for all groups, and Muslim, Christians, and Jews, and so forth. Do you have a similar objective?
We at first struggle for enabling our exiled Palestine people to return back to his home, and then to change the now shape of state founded in Palestine in the year 1948 by Zionist invade to our homeland with the help with the large help of the aggressive forces of policy and policies of the imperial great states. We try and struggle to build a new Palestine and a democratic, modern society which allows all religions to live together in peace. But our people must be allowed to return back as a first step to solve the problem. Or wars and revolutions will keep inevitable. The new Palestine we wish and try to make it social and progressive. We wish to keep in contact with all left organizations and progressive groups all over the world in order to give them the fresh news about our struggle and the developments of our judgment. We hope that we can cover their needs of information about our judgment and our struggle and our resistance.
So you welcome inquiries and contacts with left movements all over the world?
We are ready to answer any inquiry.
How would they get in touch with you?
They can send the letters by usual post, and we can give our address to anyone. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Can we give them this number?
Yes, this post office box number.
Mm-hmm. Post office box 849, yes. Damascus, Syria.
Syria. POP 849.
Post office box 849, and addressed to SAICOM.
Post office box of the General Command of SAICOM. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And SAICOM is spelled S-A apostrophe A-I-Q-A. Well, thank you very much. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, thank you, but I wish that all peoples can understand our problem and our struggle better than it do at this time. Mm-hmm. And thank you.
This is Colin Edwards in Damascus, Syria, for Sunday Magazine, for World Report, for This World, for the New Zealand Broadcasting Corporation, for Pacifica Radio.